Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio, a co-production of EWTN Radio and SpiritualDirection.com, where we provide you with a spiritual haven of rest and explore the riches of the wisdom of the saints and the path to union with God.
This is Dan and Stephanie Burke. Welcome back to Divine Intimacy Radio, your radio haven of rest.
Your hermitage of the heart.
Your monastery of the mind, where we lift our hearts and minds to the heavens to draw upon the wisdom of the saints, to the teachings of the church, Jesus, the magisterium. What's our content coming from today, Stephanie Burke?
It is coming from the truth about hell through the wisdom of Jesus, Mary, and the magisterium. Written by Dan Burke and Patrick O'Hearn.
But the words
find it at Sophia Institute Press.
SpiritualDirection.com. But the words in the book, the sources, of course, are
Scripture.
Jesus, Mary, Magisterium. Today we're going to talk about just briefly one that we covered last week, and then jump into the parable of the talents, or the a more modern translation would be parable of the bags of gold.
Really?
Yeah.
I haven't heard that.
An interesting way of saying it, I guess. But last week we talked about every tree that does not bear fruit is cut down and then thrown into the fire. And for some reason it just struck me. I think it's because it's very much connected. Like, what does it mean to not bear good fruit? Mm-hmm. And the parable of the talents is a revelation of some that do and some that don't, and then what happens to the one that doesn't. And it begins in Matthew 25, verse 14. It says, For it will be as when a man going on a journey called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave five talents, to another two, another one, each according to his ability. Then he went away, and he received the five, went at once and traded them and made five more. So then he had the one with two, made two more. So he invested it, made two more talent. But the one who received one talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money.
Because he was afraid.
Fear.
Mm-hmm.
Fear. Got to avoid risk.
Right.
You got it. You know, you.
I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if I'll like who I'm going to be.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm going to like this. Right.
Right. Right. He dug in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of the servants came to settle accounts with them. And the one who said five said, I made five. And the master said, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over little. I will set you over much. Enter into joy. Then the one with two said, master, you delivered me two. I've made two more. His master said, well done, good and faithful servant. Same thing. And then he who had received the one came forward, saying, master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not winnow. So I was afraid, and I went out and hid the talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. He gave him back the one. But his master answered, you wicked and sinful servant.
Right. You selfish, narcissistic, you know.
Cowardly.
Cowardly.
Timid.
Timid.
Lukewarm.
Yes. Turned in on yourself. Your life is not about you.
Right.
Not about you. I wish we could scream that at the top of every mountain. Your life is not about you. We are the body of Christ.
Right.
You know, what you, Dan Burke, have been given is for the sake of others. Mm-hmm. What I've been given is for the sake of others. What Jordan, what our other kids have been given is for the sake of others. What our community, our team, each soul has something that's been uniquely gifted to them. There's a particular design, beauty, strength, weakness. All of that design in each soul, in each person, mm-hmm. is given as a part of the body of Christ for the greater glory of God, for his purposes, for his honor.
Yeah.
There's something he wants to do in and through us that doesn't require everybody to be on radio. You don't have to worry about that.
Right.
Because if he wants you to be on radio, believe me, he's going to give you what he wants you to, you know, to have to do it. I never dreamed I'd be sitting here across from you. Never, ever. But it, whatever it is, we need not worry. He calls us to be faithful, not successful. Faithful.
And faithfulness. Faithful. And faithfulness is about taking risks. Mm-hmm. It's about putting yourself out there and being uncomfortable. It's even about putting yourself before people who will spit at you, mock you, reject you, and crucify you.
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, that was modeled for us.
Yeah, that's scary.
Right. So he says.
So in compassion, it's scary. It's scary.
Just on a real human level. Right, right. So you wicked, sinful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sowed and gather where I have not winnowed. Then you ought to have invested my money so that I could receive what was mine with interest. So he took the talent from him and gave it to the ones who had 10. For to everyone who has more will be given and he will have abundance, but for him is not, even what he has will be taken away. And then he says, and cast the worthless servant into outer darkness where men will weep and gnash their teeth. Of course, yeah. This is a reference to hell. Obviously, a very scary passage. And in particular, you know, there are people who say that you shouldn't fear God, but you can only say that if you have kind of a construct through which usually it comes from psychology, even Catholic psychology, mm-hmm. and that you shouldn't fear God. Well, the only way you can have that position really is to ignore passage after passage after passage after passage of the New Testament. Because what Jesus does here is, of course, he presents God as an exacting master who expects us to make good on what he's given us.
Yeah, and why? He's not a narcissistic God that just right. wants us to be robots and do what he wants us to do. It's because it's for our greater good.
He wants us to be the fullest of who we're called to be and because what he's designed us to be.
That's where our freedom lies.
Right.
That's where beauty lies. That's where truth lies. That's, you know, God's greatest glory. God's greatest delight is man fully glorified.
Fully alive.
Fully alive. Just completely given over to mm-hmm. who you're called to be. So this reminds me of, I follow this little quote of the day of the, I think it's the Desert Fathers or I don't know, something. Uh-huh. And this is Saint Ephraim of Syrian.
Yeah,
it's Ephraim, Saint Ephraim, the Syrian.
Yeah.
And he says, and happens to be today as we're doing
the
show.
I read the same passage this morning.
The fear of God, what does it do? It illumines the soul. It annihilates evil. It weakens the passions or calms them, you know, makes them more in order, drives darkness from the soul and makes it pure.
And I don't remember if it's Proverbs or Psalms, but I think the Psalm 1, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom.
Right. And then he says, the fear of God is the summit of wisdom. It's him. If he put it in here, the summit of wisdom. Where it is not, where there is no fear of God, you will find nothing good. Whoever does not have the fear of God is open to diabolical falls, right? You know, and you see that in those who mock, in those who spit in the face of what's good, in those that destroy churches and do desecrations and tear down statues of Our Lady. I mean, we see so much evil now, and you can look into the sad life of the individuals that do this, and nothing good.
Just darkness.
It's just darkness and brokenness and destruction of others, destruction of themselves. And they're spitting at God as if waving their fist at him, saying, we don't like you. And
it's like a little fire ant in our field going, I'm against you.
When they don't understand that they're just spitting at themselves.
It's really dumb. The actual, let me just get the quote right. Proverbs 9:10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and all who follow his precepts gain rich understanding. His praise endures forever." Beautiful stuff.
Yeah.
So we shouldn't fear the world, the flesh, and the devil. We should fear God, whom we're accountable to, mm-hmm. which means that we should have awe and reverence. You know, another way of saying this, my dad, God rest his soul, was a good dad in many ways. And he was very strong, and he was a man of accomplishment, worked very hard. And I always saw him as a man you do not cross. Mm-hmm. I knew that if I ever did the same thing twice, I was in for it in a big way. But I also knew that he loved me. So I did have a fear of him, but I also knew simultaneously that he loved me and wanted the best for me. And so in a sense, I feared him, but I wanted to please him. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So it wasn't, I didn't avoid the wrong thing twice because I was going to be beaten to a pulp. I had a stepfather who could do that. But my blood father didn't act that way towards me. He wanted me to learn. He wanted me to be better.
You had a desire out of love for him to also please him.
Out of respect.
Him. Yeah. Out of respect. Yeah. And I think that's it. There's a greater thing that we're being called to. We don't fear the Lord as in cowering, mm-hmm. you know, as in cowering from the God who loves us. But it's rather a fear and a respect of you are God, I am not, going back to the dialogues in Catherine of Siena and the Lord saying to her, you are she who is not, I am he who is, right? And understanding you're God, I'm not, therefore, I need to be humble. I need to understand that there's something greater outside of me. I need to set aside my ego, my opinion, my anger, my, you know, my self-destruction or whatever it is, my fear of the world, the flesh, and the enemy. And I need to adjust that and understand that I should fear the Lord, the creator of all, who has given me breath in this moment and wants me out of love to become fully who he's created me to be. So that I can flourish and so that his kingdom can come in and through all of us.
And when we do that, we use our talent, we use the gifts that God's given us, the means that God has given us. We take risk, we fly in the face of fear to live differently, to advance the gospel, to serve God and other people. And that's what keeps us off the pathway to hell and on the road to heaven.
Right.
So when we get back, we'll continue to talk about
what Jesus said.
Yeah, what Jesus talked about hell, taught about hell. We'll be right back. I want to invite folks who are out there who are feeling isolated and who are feeling disconnected and feeling like maybe they don't have people around them that are supporting them through their desire to grow interiorly. Take courses at the Avila Institute. You're going to meet the most amazing people you could ever imagine. So avila-institute.org.
The beautiful fact that no suffering is wasted, that all suffering has a purpose, and to wrestle with the idea, which is that everything that happens in our lives is either willed or permitted by God. Okay, God, why would you permit these things? I know that you're a good father and you're a loving father. So there's something there. So I have to bridge this gap between your permission of my suffering to your love for me as a father. And Uniformity with God's Will, the book by St. Alphonsus Liguori, bridges that gap. And he explains, as only he can, because he's such a hard hitter, the reality that these are all moments of growth, of virtue, of, hey, your legs are weak. You're like a newborn deer. You can't stand on your own. We need to get you to stand on your own. You know, those sorts of things. Even desolation, you know, the day-to-day kind of the ebbs and flows of the spiritual life. Those things are all permitted for a greater good, whatever that might be.
check out the brand new updated version of Uniformity with God's Will titled Finding Peace in the Storm with commentary by Dan Berg.
This is Dan and Stephanie. Welcome back to Divine Intimacy Radio, talking about what Jesus taught about hell from my latest book, The Truth About Hell, Through the Wisdom of Jesus, Mary, and the Magisterium. Wrote it with Patrick O'Hearn. We're discussing specifically the scriptures where Jesus talked about hell. And we're still, of course, in Matthew, because that's where the majority of the passages are found. But you wanted to talk about Matthew 10, right?
Yeah, this is a greater context of Matthew 10, 28. So I'm going to read before and after it to the fullness of that paragraph or that section. Whom to fear, it says. So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. That should make us all rattle a little bit, right?
There's nothing
that is covered or hidden that will not be known.
Every single thing we do, good or
all
bad,
comes
is
to the
known
light.
And in the end will come to the light.
Yeah. What I tell you in the dark, utter in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim it upon the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and not one of them will fall to the ground without your Father's will? But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven.
So it's an important preface to the whole thing is, what is he telling them to do that then is followed by don't fear?
Right.
He's telling them, proclaim what I have taught you.
Mm-hmm.
Proclaim what I have taught you.
Whisper it to others.
To be an authentic disciple of Jesus, you must proclaim what he has taught you. And he says, don't be afraid. Now, why would he say, don't be afraid? Because he knows when you speak the truth, you're going to suffer.
Yeah.
When you speak the truth, people are going to reject you. Your own family members will reject you.
Yes.
For telling the truth.
Right.
But we can't fear that. That doesn't mean we're cavalier about the way we speak. We can be bold and fearless, but that doesn't mean heartless, harsh.
No. Truth loveless. Without love is brutal.
Right. Doesn't mean without kindness.
Or relationship.
Yeah. Scripture is really clear. The Holy Spirit is super clear in the New Testament about us being patient, kind, gentle, joyful, humble in the way that we communicate the gospel. Mm-hmm. But it's part of following Jesus to proclaim it. And as we proclaim it, we're not to fear. Why?
Yeah. We're not to fear because he has the hairs of our head are numbered. We are more valuable than many sparrows. And so everyone who acknowledges him before men, he will acknowledge before the Father in heaven. It's a promise. You acknowledge me, I will acknowledge you to the Father. You are safe. You are with me. You will be glorified. You will be saved, right? Mm-hmm. But if you deny me, I will also deny you.
So I want to connect two things. Proclaim, speak, teach.
Share.
What Jesus elaborates, that you are his, that you belong to him.
Yeah.
No secret Christians.
Right.
No people going, I go to church. No. I follow Jesus. He is my God.
Mm-hmm.
He is my Savior. We need to say it.
Yeah.
We need to proclaim it, not just
bumper stickers. We
need to believe it first, not just bumper stickers, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and then he says here, so it's interesting that you said that because, you know, do not think that I have come to bring peace on earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes will be those of his household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it.
Proclaim, teach, speak that Jesus is our Lord.
Live, witness.
With love, with gentleness and patience.
Right.
And do not allow the possibility that you will be rejected to hold you from those proclamations, from those sharing of that truth, or else you will be denied.
Right.
He will say, I don't know you.
Right. Well, we're to be, you know, what is it to be a Christian? It's to be a little Christ. And that it means we will go through the agony, you know, the scourging, the crowning of thorns, the carrying of our cross, the crucifixion, in order to reach the resurrection. And that's something that is so very difficult for us to stomach, for us to get our mind around. What I have to suffer, you know, because I love you and I proclaim that you're truth. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because that's what I did for you.
Right.
And that's what it means to speak. It's the price of sin, right? It's the price of sin that we suffer when we push back against it. And it's also the price of sin that if we don't, that we will get lost ourselves. And then at what? At what cost, right? We lose everything because we have self-protected in that moment, or we loved ourselves more and our comfort more. You know, I think about the lines of the litany of humility, you know, the fear of being forgotten, the fear of being mocked, the fear of being ridiculed, of set aside, and all of these things. I mean, it's just an outgrowth of our pride. And we have to reach a point where we love the Lord more than we love our own comfort.
Mm.
We love the Lord more than how we thought things were going to be, right? Or how we want them to be. But rather we pick up our cross and follow him, knowing that he's going to bring about a greater good through our suffering. If we pick up our cross, acknowledge him, witness to him, about him, live our life in such a way that people look at us and go, there's something different. No.
And if, you know, if you're out there listening and you realize that you're silent, you know, ask yourself why, and let's just be honest. It wouldn't be loving for me, and I'm not speaking in a condemnatory tone. I don't, you know, we all have difficulties or whatever, but you don't want to come to your final judgment and have him say, I don't, you know, who are you? Because you never said you are his to the world. You never spoke truth to the world. You never put yourself out there. You never took risk, you know, which is basically the last section of teaching that we had. If you are not proclaiming Jesus, can I just be really bold? You don't love him much. And so what's the remedy? Go to confession and say, I don't love him the way I should. I'm too silent. I just let things go on all around me. I don't embrace the teachings of Jesus in my own life.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be converted. I don't want to go to hell. I want to, he deserves all of my love, you know, but don't stay in your silence and try to convince yourself because you don't kick puppies and you use your turn signals, you're going to make it to heaven.
Yeah.
Nice people don't go to heaven. Followers of Jesus go to heaven.
Mm-hmm. And it's hard. It's really hard. Yeah. So when the king came to look on at the guests, he saw there a man who had no wedding garment. Mm-hmm. So this goes to your confession. And he said to him, friend, how did you get in here without a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, bind him hand and foot and cast him into the outer darkness. Their men will weep and gnash their teeth, For many are called, but few are chosen. This is from Matthew 22, 11 through 14. So I hope that many have heard, like, what is this wedding garment, you know, and it goes back to cleansing ourselves through the means that the Lord's already provided. He's paid the price.
Allowing the Lord to cleanse us.
Right. The battle has been won, but am I surrendering to that? Am I submitting to that?
Are you living in it?
Am I living in it? And have I gone to confession and done a real confession? I would really encourage people, if they've never done it, to do a general confession, especially if they've been away from the sacrament for a long time, or they've never really, you know, dug into their past or whatever, and to go back and confess everything that they can remember at the youngest age forward into the present day, and just leave those things at the foot of the cross. The battle's been won. It's done. The Lord's forgotten that, but he wants it to be confessed. Once it's confessed, then we can appropriate, we can gather those graces for what purpose? To be strengthened so that we can walk back into the battle, into our day-to-day, and seek and find him, and to walk with him and to love others. You know, my prayer is often, Lord, grant me the grace to remain in you today and to love others as you would have me love them. Just to give myself out to others as you would have me do that. That's all I can try to do. I can't be perfect. I can't get it all right. Those things are not of the Lord. What I can do is seek to love him, to try to remain in him, and then to love others as he would have me love them the best that I can.
Amen.
So until next time, may the God of peace make you perfect in holiness. May he preserve you whole and entire, spirit, soul, and body, irreproachable at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Learn more about the interior life. Visit spiritualdirection.com. Divine Intimacy Radio is a co-production of EWTN Radio and spiritualdirection.com, and heard worldwide on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.